When I graduated from high school, a priest of the diocese, whom I had gotten to know from their ministry at ECC, gave me this book, Thomas Merton's Thoughts in Solitude. She gave me this book because over the summers we had had conversations about my emerging vocation to the priesthood, and she thought this would be a good companion for the journey. And one, given that I still have it, I think she was right. And clearly, I have really spent a lot of time reading this book because it's now in three pieces. It has traveled with me to Iona and Taizé, France, to Canterbury Cathedral in England. And this is the first time it's left my house in 5 years, because pretty soon I'm going to start leaving, you know, pages of Thomas Merton around the world, and the book's not going to be of much use to me. The first time I read this book, in the summer of 2007, there was a prayer that I discovered in it that just hit in all the right ways. And I was like, oh, I get it now. I know why I was given this book. So I want to share this prayer with all of you. Merton writes, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I actually am doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." What I've since discovered is this has actually become a rather famous prayer, and it's known simply as the Merton Prayer. And some of you may have actually heard this before. And what has been true for me since I first read it is this prayer has been one in which I have turned to time and time again in moments of discernity. Discernity, by the way, is when you combine discernment and uncertainty into one word. See, you never know what you're going to find at St. Thomas. Here we are creating new words to the English language. So in times of discernment and uncertainty, I've turned to this prayer because Merton captures that feeling of what it means when you've begun a journey and you have nowhere where you're going. Like, think about when you're driving on a foggy night, right? You can only see as far as your headlights go, and you know the road's there, and you're trusting there's nothing in the way, but that's kind of what discernment is like. You're called to follow this journey, and you can see the next couple steps ahead, but you're not really sure what comes next. Might surprise you to know that I've been praying this prayer a lot in the last 3 years, because we've been in this time of just great uncertainty when we don't really know what's about to happen, what twist and turn we're going to take. The other thing that I love about this prayer is it reminds us of the complexities of this journey, that sometimes, even though we think we are, we're not always following what God wants us to do, but just the desire to please God alone, just that desire, is in fact enough. This journey of discernment, this vocation we all have as followers of Jesus, can only be described as mysterious and mystical. It is one of significant and great joys, of amazing awe and wonder. Words are really hard this morning. Amazing awe and wonder. It also has its complexities. It's pain and it's challenge, all which lead to the miraculous redemption of God. Merton helps guide us in this journey of discernment when we don't know where we're going, giving the courage to continue on taking that next step. We are in the midst of the season after the Epiphany. Epiphany, as you might remember, means manifestation, it means revelation. And so these Sundays, this season, is all about how God is made manifest among us, how God is revealed to us. And we hear that in a particular way in this morning's gospel. Now, last week, we heard the baptism of Jesus as told by Matthew. First Sunday after the Epiphany is always the baptism of our Lord. But today, we hear about Jesus' baptism again. But we hear about it in a different way than we did last week. You see, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they give a play-by-play account of Jesus' baptism, right? So last week it was Jesus went to John. John's like, hey, Jesus, I really shouldn't be baptizing you. Jesus is like, no, but you really have to do this. John baptizes him. He comes out of the water. The heavens open. The voice declares, right? Does that sound all vaguely familiar, right? Okay. So right, we get the play-by-play. But John doesn't do that. John doesn't give us the what. He doesn't give us the how. John gives us the why. John talks about the significance of Jesus' baptism. And he sets that in context of what he himself has been doing, right? He's been baptizing with water, preparing the way for the one who will come after him, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And if you think back to Advent, right? I mean, all the way back to December, which feels like a lifetime ago. I mean, it was last year, right? We hear that voice crying out in the wilderness, the one preparing the way. That's what John is doing. He's been preparing for this moment when Jesus is baptized. And John then testifies to those around him to what he has seen, to the significance of this event. John talks about the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. John has seen God revealed, and John shares what he has seen and what has been revealed to him about God. Now, this gospel passage, it's actually a two-day event here. You have Jesus' baptism and then the next day. And the next day, as we are told in the gospel passage, Jesus is walking around and John's with some of his disciples and they see Jesus. And John says, hey, look, there's the Lamb of God walking among us. And the disciples that are with John, they hear John's testimony and they're like, okay, cool. And then they start following Jesus. Okay, cool is not a quite direct translation of the Greek, but, you know, it's I'm pretty sure that's what they said. So they start following Jesus. And then Jesus notices they're following him, and Jesus says that line, what are you looking for? Which I think is the biblical equivalent of, why are you following me? Jesus asks him, what are you looking for? Why are you here? And then I always find the response kind of funny. They don't just come right out and say what they're looking for. They say, Jesus, rabbi, teacher, where are you staying? It's like they're looking for a hotel recommendation or something. But Jesus says to them, come and see. Jesus invites them to come along. And they go. They say, like, all right, let's go see. And they stay with him, and they hear him, and they learn something of him. Jesus' identity, who he is revealed to them as they come and see. There's a picture emerging in this passage we move through, right? So things have been revealed to John. John testifies to that. Others hear that testimony. Then they get an invitation of their own. And they go and have something revealed to them. But the gospel passage doesn't end with Jesus just saying to them, come and see. It ends with one of those disciples, Andrew, going to tell of what he has experienced. He goes and finds his brother Simon. And he says, Simon, guess what? We've found the Messiah. You gotta come see. And so he brings his brother to Jesus. And when Jesus sees his brother, Jesus says, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated as Peter. Jesus gives Simon a new name, signifying a new mark in his life, a new ministry which he will begin. So we've got a revelation. We've got a revelation that is received and then shared. We've got an invitation to others who then go see, who then pass that on. What we see in this gospel is a cycle which emerges, a cycle which has been going on for 2 millennia. And it's the reason why we are here today, because generations past received the revelation of God. They went and saw, then they got an invitation, and then they shared it with others. We're here because others went and saw, and they said to us, hey, come see this thing which we have found. Come see this which we have discovered. The thing is, Andrew and the unnamed disciple, Peter, they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. They didn't know about the miraculous healings, the profound teachings. They didn't know about the works of resplendent glory. They didn't know about the heartache and the tragedy and pain which would give way to new life in the resurrection. Jesus didn't say to them, hey, here's my card that tells you everything you need to know about this journey. Like, they didn't do a quick Google search and find out the Cliff Notes version of how the story ends. They were driving along that foggy road. They could only see a couple steps ahead of them. But they knew the road was there, and they followed anyway. These disciples are the embodiment of what Thomas Merton writes about in that prayer long before Merton ever puts pen to paper. It's the road we are called to as well. I'm spending a lot of time in this beginning of the year thinking about what has been and what is coming for us, thinking about this year past and thinking about where we will go in this year ahead. And I don't want to say much about that because then you'll have no reason to come to the annual meeting in a couple of weeks. And I really want you all to come to the annual meeting on January 29th. Mark your calendars, January 29th, annual meeting. But I do want to say this. There's something pretty miraculous, I think, that's happening here. We talked about this at Vestry this past week. There's an energy and a spirit. Something is happening in this place. Something that we haven't felt in a little while. I think it's the Spirit of God saying to us, beloved, come and see this thing that's happening. Come be a part of this. Take this next step. We don't fully know where it's going. We don't fully know yet what's going to happen. We don't have a crystal ball that says, hey, by December 2023, here's all that's going to happen. But we're still being invited to come and see, to take that next step. And we can do that because God never leaves us to face our perils alone. God doesn't leave us blind as we go on this journey. God reveals this journey to us as we take that courage, as we trust in God, to come and see. So as we continue in this season after the Epiphany, as we look for the ways that God has been revealed to us, that God is being made manifest to us, I want to invite you to come and see. Come and see what's happening in your own life. Come and see what's happening in the life of this community. And invite others to join in as well. Say to them, hey, we found something that's pretty awesome. Something that is unique and special, something that's going to change everything. I want you to come and see what this is all about. And together, let us take that next step, trusting that the desire to please God alone is enough, no matter where we may go, trusting that God will illuminate our path, that we might bring all the world to see, know, and obey the love of God in this place and in the world. Amen.